I've been studying yoga and how it's been popularized in Britain for a long time now, nearly 20 years. And my central question when I started researching the subject was there is something called yoga, which was apparently something from ancient India and foreign to British culture, to European culture. But at the same time, it was so ordinary. And people would just say, oh, I'm going to a yoga class. And it was a kind of unremarkable part of daily life. So my initial question starting was really, how did something so foreign become so ordinary, so prosaic? And the more I looked into this, the more interesting it got, really. So one of the simple answers to the question is that yoga was popularized in many different ways by many different people from the first contact with India. I guess the first tales about yogis in English books were in travelogues. There's a great passage from John Fryer. So in 1681, a British doctor called John Fryer returned from his travels in India, and he published an account, a travelogue about the ascetics and yogis that was designed to both titillate and morally outrage his Christian audience. And from these kind of travelogue descriptions, yogis and India were exoticized and otherized in a way that was both intriguing and slightly dangerous. So if I read his description from 1681, "There are a sort of yogis, priests fit for such a god, among the linguists of this country, who practice this daily. The husbands entertain them courteously, wash their feet, and the whole family is at his beck, and as long as he stays, to do the wife a kindness. Others slash themselves with sharp knives and suffer themselves to be hooked by the muscles of the back and hang so some hours upon a vow. Under the banyan tree, an altar with a dildo in the middle been erected, they offer rice and coconuts to the devil, and joining some small ladders together made of oysters, do the like with the gomkar, and the bailiff of the town takes a flinched knife for sacrifice in one hand, and dungle cock in the other, and cutting off its head, fixes it at the top of the ladder, and sprinkling the blood, they all dance, and beat brass pots with a great shout, saying, the devil must be pacified with blood, God with prayers." So this kind of description has aspects of what we know ascetics still do in India today, but it's also slightly fabricated based on Christian assumptions about the devil and paganism, and designed to fire up British people to colonize and missionize this really uncivilized country that needs to be saved by God. One of the really interesting things about the British engagement with India in the early colonial period was that on the one hand, there were lots of really egregious abuses of power, but on the other hand, there were amongst some people a very interesting and genuine desire to understand the culture and the language of the people of that country. And it was both a desire to dominate and to better come up with laws that would control the population, but also it was a search for origins. And the European Romantics saw in India the origins of European culture, of European languages, and in some extent, our religious impetus, our religious origins in, say, more primitive religions. So there is an assumption about the category of religion going on here, that what was going on in India might have been a precursor to Christianity and then maybe secularization. So there were some absolutely brilliant linguists amongst the early people who were in colonial India. The formal study of yoga might be understood as starting with the Calcutta-based Asiatic Society, which was founded in 1784 by 30 British citizens. And one of the first books it began translating was the Bhagavad Gita section of the Mahabharata and some selected Upanishads, which were for the people who were interested in such kind of reified translations of obscure texts, which was, of course, a very upper middle class section of the British population at this time. They were generally well received. And